Hey everyone, welcome to Crosspoint. I especially want to welcome all of our Middle Tennessee campuses that are joining us today. I've actually had the opportunity over the last 2 months to visit all six of our campuses, to be there in person, and you all, when I'm there, you just make me feel like family. I always love getting to visit campuses. I also want to welcome everyone who's watching online, and I'm not going to leave you out. Over the next few months, I'm going to visit every home of people who watch online, uninvited, by the way, unannounced. You won't know, but when the doorbell rings, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Welcome all of you guys as well. I'm really happy to be here with you today. You know, I nearly forgot my favorite moment of 2020. Like, nearly forgot about it entirely, which is weird because typically our favorite moments tend to be really memorable. And when it happened, I would have told you this is going to be the most memorable thing that happens to me this year. But then 2020 said, challenge accepted. Because this moment happened on February 18th. And about 2 weeks later, the tornado hit our city and our church. And about 10 days after that, the pandemic shut down the world. And so though I was kind of drafting out of this incredible moment, life came at me pretty fast afterwards. And so I hadn't thought about it in a long time. In fact, in some ways, I really hadn't thought about it much until preparing for this message. And the beautiful thing is over the last couple weeks, I've been able to relive it and experience all those emotions all over again. I hope a lot of you have been to Nashville Predators games. If you're watching online, that's our hockey team here, and Preds games are a lot of fun. One of my favorite things they do at Preds games is called the military salute. And they do it at every home game, so if you've been there and you've seen it, they do it during a commercial break. But what they do is they choose one veteran or active duty service member, and they tell a little bit of their story, they show different pictures, but then that person gets a standing ovation from the entire arena. And it is this incredible moment. I've experienced it many, many times, and once, it was in late 2019, I'd gone to a Preds game. Game's over, I'm walking back to my car, and it occurred to me, I was like, you know, how does he like about nominating my dad for that? Because you may not know it, but my dad served in the Air Force for 25 years. Most of my childhood, I grew up on Air Force bases and around the U.S. and England and Germany, and loved that experience. I feel like it was so unique of the world that I got to see because of his military service. And so that night, I went home and got on the Preds website, figured out what went into nominating someone, and so I filled it out and I sent it in. And I had really no expectations of it because we're already halfway through the season, so it felt like, you know, I bet they already have all these spots lined up. So I was very surprised then about 2 weeks later when I got a call from the Preds saying, hey, we had someone scheduled for February 18th, but they just let us know they're not going to be able to attend the game after all. Would your dad be available for us to recognize him that day? And I said, yeah, that's amazing. And so I called my sisters. I have two sisters that live here in Nashville. And I called them and I said, here's the deal. I want to make this a surprise. Like, I don't want to tell Dad. I just want to surprise him. So I called him and I said, hey, on February 18th, the Predators are going to honor veterans. And so I grabbed some tickets. Do you want to go? And he was excited about that. And so it was all locked in. And then I found out what all goes into the military salute. So they said, all right, here, we're going to first of all provide tickets for you and your family. And when you arrive, we're going to treat you to dinner. And then we're going to bring you down to the locker room and introduce you to one of the players and take some pictures. And then there's this whole moment that happens in the second period. And one of my sisters looked at me and she goes, if you don't tell Dad what's about to happen, you're going to give him a heart attack. And she was right. So 2 days before the game, I didn't tell him everything, but I said, listen, Dad, I know I told you on the 18th that they're going to honor veterans, but it's not entirely true. They're going to honor one veteran, and that's you. And my dad's answer was so predictable. He goes, why? And I said, well, you know, this is something they do every game. And he was really uncomfortable with it. He said, you know, there's a lot of people who sacrificed more than I did. I don't really feel right about getting that kind of recognition. But I assured him, first of all, I said, they chose you. Like, they didn't have to choose you. I'm sure there were other submissions. So they chose you. But also, I bet they're doing, for one, what they'd love to do for everyone, And so I think you should do this. And so he was reluctant to it, but he agreed. And so the 18th arrived, and there's so many stories about that night and that experience I could share. But we actually have video from that night of what happens there in the second period. So I'll go ahead and show you this and explain just a little bit. First of all, Drew shot this video for me so that I could be fully present, which means you're probably going to hear his voice at a couple different points. But as it begins, they start off by showing different pictures of my dad from his time in service. They talk about some of his accomplishments and some of the places where he served over 25 years. But what it all builds toward is the standing ovation that he gets from the entire arena, which is happening now. It was an incredibly powerful moment. I've talked about it since then, and it's this amazing thing that there are very few people in life that ever experience a standing ovation from 16,000 people. You know, that is reserved for, you know, rock stars and maybe athletes in some situations, but my dad would say that he's just an ordinary guy. And it was disproportionate honor and gratitude given, and it was a really powerful moment. And I asked him afterwards, I said, so what were you feeling in all that? And he said, first he would say he was really nervous. He said as soon as the cameraman sat down next to him, it got real, real. He's like, oh. And then he said in the moment standing there, he said it was almost too much to process that. He said it was incredibly overwhelming to experience that. He said when he sat down, when the moment was over and the game starts back up, he said he just sat there and cried for a little bit. But he said something else that I didn't expect. I hadn't heard my dad say before. He said, you know, son, when Vietnam was over and soldiers came back, things weren't the way they are now. Like, a lot of guys came back and they didn't get thanked. He said, these days we do a better job of expressing gratitude, but there are a lot of people who never experienced that. And he said, I suppose in that moment, as I got all that recognition, I just kind of felt like maybe I didn't waste my life. And that is a deep and powerful emotion. And I've known my dad, you know, pretty much all my life. And I'd never heard him say that before or express it that way. And it really caught me off guard. What a powerful moment that gratitude pulled that deep, maybe wound, and it did a little healing for it. It was really powerful. And I just want to say, like, I know here in downtown Nashville, and of course everyone else joining with us, that there are a lot of veterans and active duty service members, and I hope someone nominates you for the military salute, because it's really a powerful experience. But in case they don't, we have an opportunity right now. Just want to say thank you. So can we say thank you? Thanks for joining me in that. So it was an incredible night, an incredible experience. I'll never forget it, and I'm really grateful for it. It was really powerful to experience that night. But here's what's also true. I had been to dozens of games before that moment. I've been to quite a few games since that moment where I didn't know the person getting recognized, where I was the person standing up because Lee Greenwood music starts, and that's what you do when you hear Lee Greenwood, and I was just the one clapping. What I would say is those moments were just as good. Like, being the person giving the applause feels fantastic. I went to a game right before Thanksgiving, right before leaving town. And since I knew I was going to talk about this, I just kind of scanned. There are people all over the place like, whoo. There's something about it. You know it's coming, but it still gets you. And the reason it gets you is because gratitude is this really powerful thing, that it is as nourishing for the soul of the person who gives gratitude as it is for the person who receives it. And there's just not much in this world that functions that way. It is this really, really unique, powerful thing. But here's the problem, is that I don't know that we always feel grateful. Like, I know we're just coming out of Thanksgiving, and my hope is in the midst of the traveling and the eating and the napping and the shopping and the arguing that you experience some authentic moments of thankfulness. But what I also know is for a lot of people, it's been a hard year. And it's been a hard year that followed a hard year. And for a lot of us, life has felt unrelenting. And I know that there are people who have experienced loss over the course of this year, maybe lost a family member or you lost a friend. I know people who have lost careers. I know people for whom dreams have died or at least they've been delayed. And I know there's a lot of people who are having to work harder to achieve less results, and it's incredibly draining to walk in that. It doesn't make you feel all that grateful. And I know that we are still in a pandemic, and we're still in a very divided political environment, and there's just so much coming at us. And so in the midst of all this, I don't know that we always feel all that grateful. But the good news is you don't have to wait to feel grateful. That there are rhythms that we can build in our life, practices that we can walk out that will help us develop gratitude inside us that is separate from our circumstances. And it's a good thing because gratitude was created by God for our benefit and for everyone else's benefit too. But let's start by working off a common definition of what gratitude really is. Pastor Kevin reminded me of a book that we read years ago called Soul Keeping, and it gives this really clear picture of what factors have to exist for there to be gratitude. They all begin with the word bene, B-E-N-E, which is Latin for good. And the first is benefit. For you to feel gratitude, there has to be a benefit. There has to be a gift that you receive that is good. Because if it's not good, you're not grateful. And there's lots of benefits in this life, but the scriptures, they show us what some of the benefits are. It says in Psalm 103, it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." So what are the benefits? It's all there. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, love, compassion, good things. And this is not a comprehensive list. There's plenty of other things that you could add to that list. Many benefits that we've received in our life, good things. And the next factor that has to exist is a beneficiary. Someone who receives the gift. That's me, that's you, that's everybody, actually. All of us, regardless of how we feel, are beneficiaries of good gifts. You don't just have to be a follower of Christ, someone who believes in God, to be a beneficiary of his gifts. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that the sun and the rain, that they exist for the righteous and the unrighteous, which means God's gifts are for everybody, even if you don't choose to receive them or to see them as a gift. And so there are all kinds of benefits in our life, the air that we breathe, the people that we love, and we are beneficiaries of that. But it sets up the third factor that has to exist, which is really important, and that's the benefactor. Yes, there's a benefit and there's a beneficiary, but there's also a benefactor. And the reason that's important is because the gifts that we receive are not random. That they are given by someone for a specific purpose, and their intention is good. That's what makes them the benefactor. And God is the ultimate benefactor, that he gives good gifts to us. It says in James that all good gifts come from above, from the Father whose character isn't changing. And he is the ultimate giver of gifts. But today, I want to talk just for the Sacred Rhythm series, this idea that walking in an awareness that we are the beneficiary of good gifts and that they're given to us by someone with good intentions, those things can feel so circumstantial, but I think there are rhythms that we can build in our lives where we learn to walk these things out more consistently. And to do that, there's really two easy steps. There's hundreds of verses in the Bible that talk about gratitude, but there was one verse in particular that for me gave us the roadmap of, like, well, how do we achieve that? How do we begin to walk in that? And that was in Colossians chapter 3. And we'll put it up on the screen here, and you'll see these that we've highlighted them so you can see the steps. So Colossians 3, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And that's what we're going to talk today. Be thankful, give thanks. Be thankful, Give thanks. That's the whole thing. It sounds so incredibly easy. Just be thankful and give thanks. For those of us who have lived for just even a little while and have had to navigate different painful things in our life, what we would say is they sound easy, but they're not always easy. But that's okay, because there's steps that we can take that will lead us to be more grateful and to live happier lives. So let's look at the first step, be thankful. When I say you need to be thankful, what most of us would say in response to that is, great, as soon as I feel thankful, I will be thankful. So if you'd like me to be thankful, why don't you do something for me? I will then feel thankful and I can be thankful. But that's not really how it works. You already have more than enough in your life to be thankful for. The problem is that you're not focused on those things. You're not always aware of those things. And it's important for us to work on this and not just wait for things to happen, because being thankful is really good for us. Like, it's been proven in science that thankfulness is good for our mental health. It's good for our brain development. They did studies in the workplace, and they said thankful people perform far better than people who are not just negative, but even just neutral. That thankful people, productivity goes up 31% when people are thankful. That sales go up 37%. When the people in those roles are thankful people. If you are a person who is consistently thankful, you are 40% more likely to get a promotion. Thankful people make for great employees. And becoming a thankful person really actually is not all that difficult. There is a rhythm that you can put in place that is proven to draw your attention more and make you more consistently thankful. And it's really simple. It says you can literally train your brain to be thankful if you journal every day things for which you're grateful. As simple as that, just taking a few minutes every day to journal a few things that you're thankful for, reprograms your brain. In this particular case, scripture has always known this. Science is catching up and discovering it, but they're in agreement that Romans 12 says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And brain science agrees. It says that the brain is malleable and adaptable. It's called neuroplasticity, which is the biggest word that I'm going to use in the message today. I've never used it before, and I feel smarter for having learned it. But all it means is that your brain can be reprogrammed by your habits and your routines, that every day new cells are being born as old cells die off. And scripture agrees. Lamentations says his mercies are new every morning, which means every day there are new things for which you could be grateful if you simply drew your attention to it, that there are always reasons to be happy. But here's the problem that at some point all of us have to deal with. You'll never be thankful for something you feel entitled to. It's something I am still struggling with and learning, that it is impossible to be grateful for something if deep down you feel entitled to it. If I feel entitled to something and you offer it to me, I'm not grateful. I'm satisfied. Great. I deserve that. I earned that. I'm glad you finally gave it to me. It squeezes the joy out of these experiences and these relationships, and it's entitlement that does it to us. If I go to a store and I purchase something, I hand the cashier my money, and then they hand me whatever it is I've purchased, I don't go, whoa, this is amazing. Like, thank you so much. No, I paid for that. You owe me that. Do you see how easy it is for all of life to become so transactional, where all our focus is everything that we deserve and everything that people owe us? And when we do that, we squeeze all the joy out of life and out of our relationships. That for us to be grateful and to grow in thankfulness, we have to push back against an entitlement. A pastor told a story about, he was walking through a marina, and he saw this boat, this gorgeous brand new boat, a multi-million dollar floating piece of artwork. It was incredible. But you know how boats, on the back of the boat, the name is painted on there? The name of this boat was Deserved. And he looked at it, and when he saw it, he just thought to himself, he said, that boat will never be enough. Like, I'm sure the owner loves it and is really enjoying it right now, but at some point, he's going to be over it. He's going to be really aware of everything that's wrong with it and what could be better, and he's going to move on to something else. And the reason is we will never be grateful for something we feel entitled to, and it goes beyond that. That deep down, if we think we deserve everything we have, we'll never have enough. Never have enough. No amount of influence will be enough if you think you deserve it. No amount of money will be enough. You will constantly be chasing the next. Well, when I reach this point, that'll be enough. When I reach this point, that'll be enough. No relationship will be fulfilling enough. No home that you live in will be nice enough. No car that you drive will be satisfying enough. As long as you believe that you deserve everything that you have, it'll never be enough. And so we have to push back against this transactional nature of life that robs us of our joy. I didn't have this in the message, but just backstage before the service, I was talking with some friends back there. And one of the things we talked about is this idea that for some people, this idea of ambition, it's at war with contentment. Like deep down, I know I should be more content with what I have, but I just have such a big dream and there's so much I want to accomplish and there's so much I want to possess. There's so much I want to do. And these two things can be at war with each other, contentment and ambition. And what I would tell you, it's gratitude that comes in between that and allows them to live together in a healthy way where you can be grateful for the things you have and content with what you have while also acknowledging that God has given you gifts, that there might be more that you can do and achieve and experience. And it's not a bad thing because the ambition isn't all about making you bigger. It is just this act of gratitude walking out going, Lord, thank you for these opportunities, these talents, these opportunities, these gifts. Gratitude allows us to not be at war, our contentment and our ambition, where we can actually experience both for the first time. It's a powerful thing. And you don't have to wait to feel thankful to be thankful. You just build a rhythm where you routinely write down things that you're grateful for, and it'll make you a more thankful person. So let's look at the second practice, which is give thanks. Be thankful, give thanks. Give thanks is very simple. It means that we don't just feel the gratitude, that we're very intentional to express it. Because we already said it, that there is something about gratitude. While it is nourishing for our soul, it's also nourishing for the soul of the person we give thanks to. And we start by giving thanks to God. I've said he's the ultimate benefactor. He is the giver of good gifts. It says in Scripture more than 170 times to give thanks to God, give praise to God. And the reason it says that is not because God is insecure. That giving thanks to God is not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. It's because when we give thanks to God, our attention shifts away from everything else we're focusing on. And as we focus on God, we become that much more aware of all the things that we have to be grateful for, all the gifts that he has given us in the past and is giving us now. As we focus our attention on God, we grow in relationship with God. And so giving thanks to God is an incredibly healthy thing for us. And there's so many different verses throughout Scripture that tell us why we should give thanks to God. It starts off in, I have to be on the right page, Hebrews 12. It says, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. We're in a world that can feel so shaken all the time. When we look to God and we understand that his kingdom cannot be shaken, we grow in gratitude. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Why should we give thanks to the Lord? Because he's good. His love endures forever. If you've been in short-term, temporary relationships that are unfulfilling, to acknowledge that there is a God whose love is enduring and does not end is a very healthy thing. And so we give thanks. Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Why should you present your request to God with thanksgiving? I'm glad you asked. It says it right here. Because the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Do you want more peace in your life? Everyone I know wants more peace in our life to push back against anxiety and stress and these things. Well, great. In prayer, offer thanksgiving to God, and what he gives back to you is his peace. So as we extend thanks to God, we grow in relationship with him. I talk to people all the time and say, I want to grow in my faith. You know, Pastor, I got to grow in my faith. I'm going to read the Bible more and I'm going to pray more. And they're really, really serious about it. And it's great. I'm so glad. Prayer and Scripture is fantastic. But, you know, don't squeeze all the joy out of it. Add some gratitude to the mix. You add gratitude into that, you will grow in your faith. Because as we direct our attention, we draw closer. It says in the book of James, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Well, when you offer thanks to someone, when you give thanks to someone, you draw closer to them. They will draw closer to you as well. That's the other part of this. It's not just God that we give thanks to. It's also people. We're intentional to give thanks to people, to let them know the things that we've experienced, that they are also benefactors who are giving good gifts to us. Because when we offer thanks to people, we become more aware of all the gifts that they're giving us in our life, and we grow in relationship with them as well. But what I've found in my life, and I bet it's true for a lot of us as well, is that I feel the gratitude more than I extend it. That I acknowledge when someone does something nice or says something nice, someone does something very unselfish, I'm like, oh man, that's really cool that they did that. That's really nice. But I'm not always intentional to take that next step and to express gratitude, to acknowledge what I saw and experienced. And the problem with that is it means that there are people in my life right at this very minute who don't know how much they mean to me. Why would that be? Like, why would I withhold that from someone? Someone I care about, someone who's done something good for me. Why wouldn't I express gratitude? It seems like such an easy thing, but it's just because I haven't necessarily built rhythms into my life that help me walk out my intentions. And that's the big problem for all of us, is we want credit for our intentions, but we're judged by our actions. It's all people know. Gratitude not expressed is received as ingratitude. We can say, well, that's not how I felt, but that's not, they can't do anything with that. It's only the gratitude that we express that that closes this loop. And here is something that's really important. This is so important that I've asked him to put it on the screen because it's something that we may have to think about and wrestle through a little bit. But here's what I would say. The gap that exists between the gratitude we feel and the gratitude that we express, it starves our relationships. It does. The gratitude that we feel and then the gap that exists to the gratitude we express, that gap right there is starving our relationships. Friendships that die out over time because one person feels like they're the ones who have to put in all the work. They feel unloved or taken for granted. Or how about marriages that grow in tension and frustration because one person feels invisible, feels like they are putting everything into it but not getting anything back. Well, what about in your workplace? What if right now there were employees that you have or coworkers you have who are currently shopping for another job, and the reason is because they just feel invisible. They feel like the work that they do doesn't really matter, and they just wonder if they went somewhere else, if they'd experience a little bit more gratitude. The gap that exists between the gratitude we feel and the gratitude that we exist is starving our relationships. But when we're intentional to offer gratitude, we close the loop. When we're intentional to take that extra step and to say the thing that we feel, we build bonds with people. We nourish their soul. Our soul gets nourished as well. When we're in the same way that when we give thanks to God, that we grow closer to him. When we give thanks to people who do good things for us, we grow closer to them as well. But you know what? Sometimes where I think we fail to express gratitude, it's because we overthink it. It's just as simple as that, that we think about it, and maybe even take out your phone and you start typing the text, but then you're like, nah, I don't like that, so you delete it. And then you start writing again, but then you're thinking like, I think that might communicate more than I'm trying to communicate right now. I like them, but I don't like them. And so you delete, and at some point you're processing through, how do I say this thing that I feel? But then you get distracted, and the moment's gone, and we don't do it. I think sometimes we just overthink expressing gratitude. Do you know who doesn't overthink expressing gratitude? Kids. Kids do not overthink this. If you ask a kid to write a thank you note, it takes 30 seconds. They say exactly what they feel, and it's done. And I found a couple examples this week I'll share with you. Check for that. Here's the first one. Thank you for the amazing squirt gun I will shoot you with. Or this. Dear Grandma and Grandpa, thanks for what you got me. Love, Dylan. P.S. I forgot what you got me. Just honest, but I bet it was great. How about this? Thank you, Mom, for making me food so I don't die. We don't always think about that. I love this one. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Yeah. Kids don't overthink gratitude, but we overthink gratitude. I can let you off the hook on this one. They've done studies on this, polled thousands of people. The results are so conclusive. The person will be more impacted by your gesture than they will by your words. They've proven it. They don't care about your eloquence, and they don't care about your grammar. They just feel good that you thought of them. that we overthink gratitude for no reason. It is so simple just to express that gratitude, but it may not come naturally to you. In fact, there might even be some things you have to overcome, which is why we build rhythms. Studies on happiness show it's the single most influential thing you can do to train your brain to be more thankful. For 2 minutes a day, write a positive email or text thanking someone you know, and then you do it for a different person every day. And here's what it says. They show that people who do this become known as positive leaders with strong social connections. They say it's the greatest predictor of long-term happiness. And all it takes is being intentional to give thanks. So as I wrap up my time here today, I wanted to share a story that I found as I was preparing for the message. Back in the 1930s, in the midst of the Great Depression, where it was still just wreaking havoc throughout the U.S., during this time, there was an evangelist named William Stidger. And he is a pastor, and he was sitting having breakfast with some other pastors. And they were talking about messages that they would all soon have to give because it was about to be Thanksgiving. And what they were talking about is it feels difficult to talk about thankfulness right now because the world doesn't feel all that thankful. Like, I'll just be honest, I felt a little bit of that preparing for today because it's easy to say, you know, be thankful, give thanks, and it's so simple. And I just know that there are a lot of very significant things that people are navigating, and there is this sense that if you don't say it quite right, that it could be this hollow platitude where it's just like, well, just pretend life is perfect and you'll be better, which is, of course, not remotely true. None of this message is pretend your way to more gratitude. But I understand why William and his friends were struggling with what to talk about. And in that moment, he said that he felt this nudge by God. So, you know what, maybe if you just write a note to someone and say thank you, maybe they'll feel a little more thankful and maybe you will too. And so that's what he did. Said he wrote a letter to an old school teacher of his, someone he hadn't talked to in decades, that she had been his English literature teacher, and she had helped instill a love of books and poetry, and he said it was very influential with how he ended up spending his life. So he wrote her a letter, and he sent it to her, and he was surprised that it really only took a few days for him to actually get a response. And this is what it said. It said, "Dear Willie," I'll just stop there. He said no one had called him Willie in decades. He said that one thing, he said, made him feel so known that immediately he began to well up with gratitude. Just that one little acknowledgement, just a simple greeting already began to change how he was feeling. But dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your note meant to me. I'm in my 80s and I live alone. I cook my own meals and I'm sometimes lonely, like the last leaf of autumn lingering behind. And you'll be interested to know that I taught in school for more than 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I've ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has done in years. And Stidger said, "I'm not sentimental, but I found myself weeping over that note." Now that's a nice story, isn't it? Like, don't you like that? Doesn't it make you feel good you hear a story like that? Here's the interesting thing about that. You are not the benefactor in that story, nor are you the beneficiary, and yet still you're moved. That's how powerful gratitude is. We don't have to be the recipient. We don't even have to be the giver. Just knowing that there is gratitude in this world gives us hope that maybe this world could be stitched back together, that things don't have to be the way that they are, that there's another possibility, another way. There is something about just the knowledge of gratitude and that some people are pursuing it and walking it helps us. It nourishes our soul. And it's why it's so important. It's why we can't just wait until we feel grateful. That's why we have to have rhythms built into our life that help us remember all the gifts we're already receiving and all the people who are giving those gifts. And as we walk this out, we start stitching the world back together. And so to wrap up here, I'm going to issue you a challenge, and I'm going to make you a guarantee. So here's the challenge. For every day between now and Christmas, which is a little bit less than a month, I want you to do two things. First, I want you to write down three things every day that you're grateful for. And second, I want you to send one note of thanks. It can be a text message, email, handwritten note. You can just walk to a cubicle and just say thanks to someone. But every day between now and Christmas, these two things, write three things you're grateful for and one note of thanks. Because here's my guarantee that goes with that. if you're intentional to walk this out, first of all, you'll enter into Christmas feeling more thankful and grateful than you have in a long, long time. But more than that, you'll actually enter the new year feeling more optimistic about what 2022 has to hold than if you didn't walk this out. And in the process, you'll grow in gratitude, and so will other people as well. And we're going to go ahead and start now, because I know there's probably a lot of things that you've got planned today, and this week is bound to get busy. And so let's not wait to start these rhythms tomorrow. Let's just start right now. And so across all of our campuses, I'm going to invite our worship teams to come back out and join us on stage. And we're just going to have a little bit of time, first for reflection, an opportunity for you to maybe take your phone out. Maybe you would start writing down the things you're grateful for. What I'll tell you is it starts easy and then it gets hard. It tends to start out real easy. Friends, family, health, home, job, and as soon as we get past that, it actually gets really hard. That's why it takes a practice, it takes a rhythm. So maybe you take a few moments now and write a few things you're grateful for. Maybe you would take a little time right now and actually just go ahead and send that first text, that first email to someone just to let them know. And then once you've taken a little time to do that, would love then for you to redirect your attention and your gratitude vertically and offer God thanks, because he is the benefactor. He is the giver of good gifts. He loves you so much. He has so much for you, and he wants to grow in relationship with you. And it happens as we learn to be more grateful. So will you pray with me? Jesus, I'm so thankful for today. Thankful for this opportunity. Thankful for the process that you've taken me through in preparation for this, where I've had to wrestle with some of the areas where I don't get this right, and where I feel freshly empowered to do better. And God, I am thankful that you are the source of good gifts. I'm thankful. There are so many ways that you've blessed my life, so many ways that you have loved me well. I pray for the person who doesn't know you, and so they maybe they want that. Maybe there's a part of their soul that feels disconnected, and I believe that's found in relationship with you. So I pray that whether it's at one of our campuses or online through the chat, that they'll take a step, have a conversation, that they'll come to a saving relationship with you. And I just pray for all of us that we'd be inspired to not just hear this in a message, but to walk it out. And in the process, that we would see some relationships healed, that we would be increasingly aware of all the good that is in our life, and that we'll be the source of good in someone else's life as well. Lord, would you use this thing that you created, would you use gratitude to draw us back together and to draw us closer to you, that we would see this world healed? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.